coming up on Path to Zero.
There's this transition that is happening with a skill set transition in addition to the technology transition that's moving us to cleaner energy.
Welcome to a special edition of Path to Zero, recorded from the Reuters Global Energy Transition Summit in New York City. Now, here's your host, Tucker Perkins.
One of the great things about doing some episodes here at the Reuters Global Energy Transition Summit in New York is getting to meet some of the corporate leaders attending this event who are playing a key role in decarbonizing industry around the world. We're pleased to welcome one of those leaders. Karen Balmer is the Chief Commercial Officer for the Energy Industries Division at ABB, the Swiss multinational company focused on electrification and automation technology.
Karen, thanks for stopping by and welcome to Path to Zero.
Thanks, Tucker. I'm happy to be here.
I think most of our listeners are going to know all about ABB, but for those who don't, tell us about your company and kind of what you're doing maybe in New York and how you're helping some of the world's largest companies with the energy transition.
Sure. So ABB's been around for 140 years. We have many technologies. I'm specifically representing the energy industry where we automate, electrify, and digitize some of the world's largest industries. And we're here in New York for the Reuters Energy event.
That's awesome. Let's talk a little bit about digitalization. It's kind of a tough word sometimes. What does that really mean as we think about the energy transition?
So all of our lives are affected by digitalization. We know it in our personal life, and somehow over the course of the last few years, we've kept it in personal life and not necessarily in the professional life. And what we're doing at ABB is actually applying digital technologies to predict and maintain certain industries that produce hard to abate atmospheric elements. And so using things like a digital twin to be predictive so you can take action before something ever happens actually is helping decarbonization because the carbons are never released. You can also apply digital technology for maintenance, so making sure that all of the equipment and the processes are running properly and actually avoiding emissions.
And really, your customer base is really limitless. It can be a cement plant that manufactures cement. It could be a power plant, almost everything in between, right? Large industry that are using your switchgear and a lot of your technology inside. Is that right?
You're correct. Specifically for energy industries, we are focused on some of the more traditional energy supplies. Most people know oil and gas or chemical and refining, but we also are making the bend into new energies, and the new energies range from carbon capture, offshore wind, and other green hydrogen, and these are type of industries that are more in the energy supply, more so than the switchgear.
And as we think about the energy transition and narrowly define it as cutting carbon emissions, how significant can digitalization be?
So it can play a significant part in helping prevent the hydrocarbon release. Again, if we come back to predicting if there's a leak, predicting if there is something that's going to be serviced, you can prevent any carbon from being released at all. These are things that are not possible without digital technologies. We've all been in situations where something breaks or a line goes down or a process is broken and it can take hours, days, weeks to repair. And in that time frame, there are things that productivity is lost, energy supply is compromised. And so with digital technologies, you can, again, apply maintenance as well as preventing the carbons from being released at all.
You know, as we prepared to have you this morning, we listened to some interviews, and one of the things that struck us, because it's where we often are, and I find people rarely talk about it, is you said this transition isn't just about technology. It's very much about the people. Expand on that, will you?
This is a topic that I'm passionate about because the energy transition is happening, and there's an entire workforce that knows the traditional ways to produce energy. And whether it's digitization or some other technologies that are being introduced through partnerships, the skill set needs to change. And I thought yesterday's panel, I thought one of the panelists did a great job saying, hey, we have to look at our workforce, and it's not about upskilling, it's about skill changing. We have to change the skills from traditional into energy transition technology skill set. And so the technology is one thing, but if you don't have the workers that know how to apply the technology to produce energy, then you never make the bend. And so you tie that into the different stages around the world that energy transition is taking place. It's not a one-size-fits all. So I believe that over time, there are going to be skill sets that develop in the energy transition in some pockets of the world that will be inspiration to bring that skill set to another pocket of the world. And over time, this evolution happens. It's not a light switch. It's not going to happen immediately. It's going to probably take decades. But there's a bit of a fear at times to hold on to the past because that's what people know and those are the skill sets people know. When in fact, people coming into the workforce are bringing a whole new set of skill sets, but they don't know the industry. And so there's this transition that is happening with a skill set transition in addition to the technology transition that's moving us to cleaner energy.
Yeah, and man, you just touched on two or three things I want to come back to, but for sure, the technology aids in so many ways the people as they get up to speed faster. I mean, I see that in how we train or educate. And then to your point, some of the predictive tools get you so much faster. At least as we think around the world, we're all in such different places. I was actually talking with someone in Africa, and they said, really interesting statement to me, give us an opportunity to carbonize before we even think about decarbonizing. ABB is all over the world. You're participating in all of these transitions with such differing views, such different places they are. How do you navigate that one? And then do you, from that observation, do you have, I mean, is there a stellar place where you love the way this transformation is unfolding?
So the navigation around the world is a difficult question, which is a difficult way to answer. The way different countries are going to go through the energy transition is not a one-size-fits-all. There are some countries, some regions, the sub-Saharan region that you mentioned, they don't have the infrastructure that we have. So there could be a quicker transition to renewables there because they don't have the infrastructure that some of the more developed countries have. There's also different thoughts on how to decarbonize. In some regions, there is a focus on limiting demand. And so if you limit demand, that cuts down on supply. And so you see that as you travel all over the world, certain hotels here in New York might shut off the AC when you're not there in the room. Well, that is limiting the demand, so the supply isn't needed. However, there are other parts of the world where they say, keep the demand there, we're just going to take the carbons out of the atmosphere, or we're never going to release the carbons to begin with. And so as you look at the different ways, there's no single answer. They're all good. And it's just what can different countries or different regions do to implement decarbonization faster.
Love those themes. Numbers of solutions, not one. We call that a wide path. And then the theme for me for the last year and will be, I think, forever, is act now, right? Let's stop waiting for the shiny object. Let's take baby steps if needed or even giant steps if available, but let's act now. Acting now is like putting money in the bank now. It accrues interest. It cuts carbon every day. So
Well, I don't think you should be interviewing me. You just answered the question beautifully.
No, but it is fascinating to see, and I study Europe intensely, as really these decisions affect GDP and economies. But then, to your point, you talk with people in Africa, and Africa is very different if you're in the south of Africa versus the north of Africa, but still very different than we look at it. Go to Japan, fundamentally different uses, really. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting, and I think if you're trying to execute on a worldwide scale, as y'all are, it's a very different world.
Right, and I think you'll hear it from ABB Energy Industries quite often. Progress is what matters, not perfection. Yeah. We got to continue to make progress. Money in the bank.
Yeah. Yeah, we always say perfect is the enemy of good. That's right. Same thing. You know, one thing that I was kind of researching a little bit about ABB is y'all are making some moves in carbon capture. I was a little bit surprised to see that. Talk to me about ABB's involvement in carbon capture, and is carbon capture and storage more than anything else, right?
Correct. So we've made quite a bit of progress, and we haven't done it alone. We do believe in partnerships, and partnerships can be technology partnerships, distribution partnerships, co-development partnerships, and in the case of what we're doing with carbon capture and storage, it is with technology partnerships. And so ABB is delivering the solution. It's a digital twin solution that is really looking to understand where there could be carbon emissions, capture them, and pump them right back down into the earth. So never actually letting the carbons escape. And this is from offshore all the way to onshore, and being predictive. I've used that word quite a few times, but if you can predict when the carbons are going to be released, you can capture them. And if we think about energy transition, yes, carbon capture is still addressing fossil fuels, but it is making that bend. It is an enabling technology to get to low carbon technology, and is actually looking at addressing some of the biggest concerns with energy transition, which is supply, affordability, and security. We know that if we can continue some of our processes and traditional processes and capture the carbon and not release it, pump it back into the earth, that's one solution that can continue that supply affordably, while the work with renewables or battery storage or small modular nuclear, that those efforts continue in parallel.
Yeah, fascinating. I didn't realize until I started studying a little bit that y'all were involved in that. And I think that's one of the technologies, I believe, not even really in the first inning of the baseball game. I mean, maybe still in the warm-up periods, that we're gonna think so differently about carbon, period, carbon capture and storage, using it. Yeah. 20 years from now, we're going to look back and laugh at what we did last year, I think. So it's good that y'all are involved in that. Tell me why you're here in New York.
So in New York, we have the Reuters event focused on energy transition. And this is the first time ABB has participated.
Oh, wow.
And it's we viewed it as a great opportunity to hear from the experts that are on stage, share what their thoughts are. And so I attended yesterday the executive portion of the program, and it was really interesting to me to understand the disruptive technologies that are emerging. Everything's nascent right now. Mm-hmm. So understanding that, we've said it before, no idea is a bad idea. Let's pursue there. I found the session on what cities in the United States are doing and how they're trying to address clean energy in different ways. And so we're learning this year, and also sharing and collaborating. We have several customers here, and we are placing the customer at the heart of everything we do. You asked a question a few minutes ago about this lumpiness, and it's a transformation, not a transition. That's so true, because we're also here to meet the customer, and we're committed to go on the journey with our customer. And so our customers are going through energy transition as well. They have infrastructure. They're moving forward with their own investments, but they need a partner. And we're going to take the journey with them as they move through energy transition. So attending events like the Reuters event actually puts the technology suppliers, the customers, the educators, the financial elements, all in the same room, learning at the same rate. And so there's a speed, an element of having a common starting point that is the result of being at events like this.
I did an interview this morning earlier and was asked the question. I'm going to turn it to you and see, because that is fascinating, and I firmly believe my answer, but I want to see what you say. Are the energy companies, and I think the implication is generally the fossil fuel energy companies, are they really participating in this transition, or are they merely trying to protect their turf and their old ways of doing it? How would you answer that question?
They're participating.
That's exactly what I said. They see it. And it's not for self-interest to a degree. I think it's my comment. They are the only people of scale with access to capital, access to human talent, access to technology that can execute those solutions.
Very well stated.
You agree?
I agree. And when you look at the trilemma again, the affordability, the security, and the supply, right now they understand the economics, the affordability of it, right, and can fund the technology that provides secure energy.
Yeah. We have a little bit of fun on the show. We're going to do it now.
Okay.
First thing we do is we take magic, and we're going to hand you a magic wand. Now, that magic wand has some rules. You can only use it one time for one thing in the next year that would have, in your view, the greatest impact on climate. How would you use that wand?
I would use the wand to focus on education. I feel that in my time with ABB, I've learned a lot. I've learned things that I should have known. I should have known them as a child. I should have known them as an adult. And I think that there is a lack of education of what we as a society think about energy. We're addicted to energy. I work. I have two monitors, two cell phones, and that's how I work. And every time I do a Google search or use AI, it is consuming energy. And I'm probably on the low end of energy mm-hmm. consumption, but I think about what is that doing to energy supply. I look at things through a new lens now, and I think there's a whole population that doesn't quite understand this. And so I think with education, it would enable every human to do something towards progress, whether it's the simple steps of recycling or understanding what carbon emissions do and all this stuff. I tie it back to being 6 years old and learning about photosynthesis. There's a natural carbon cycle out there, and we have disrupted it. And so we can also fix it. So education is where I'd go.
And education of consumers, of businesses.
Everything.
Educating across the span.
Right. So, I mean, a lot of it comes down to science, maybe what you would learn in school. But I think there needs to be this extension, because there are generations upon generations upon generations behind, ahead of us, that are going to have to continue the work that we're doing now. And I think there needs to be more of a focus on what clean energy is and how we're all responsible.
Karen, it's a great use of your wand. Thank you. As we, you are guest 100 and something, and it's so fun to go back and even in the past listen to how people use their wands. It's really fascinating. So
I'm sure it is.
Educating is a great answer. Thanks. Well, one more piece of fun, and I can't wait to hear how you're going to answer this. We like to plant a tree in honor of your time and the effort you've made to get here and be with us today. We tend to think about a national forest in America, but you get the first say where you'd like to have a tree planted.
That one's quite easy for me. It's okay. The national forest closest to where I grew up, and it's the Blue Ridge Parkway. I think it's a beautiful part of the southeastern United States, as a child, it was a pilgrimage to go see the leaves in the fall and how they changed to beautiful colors. And in the spring and the summer, it was a place that you could go to hike and see waterfalls. And it's just quite nice. And over my life, I've always found a way to return as often as I can because it is a beautiful, it was originally state park, now it's a national park, and I'm so glad it got up to the national park.
Well, you're on one end of it, I'm kind of on the other end of it, and I will personally enjoy going and find your tree, because you're right, it's a beautiful place to go and visit and kind of realize to a degree what we're doing and why we're doing it. I think nowhere do I go does the importance of a clean climate maybe stare you in the face other than being in the mountains. So that's
beautiful.
Great choice. I want to just ask you one more thing, because I can't have somebody from ABB on without talking about supply chain. And, you know, we read so much now about the transformation of the electric grid and what that implies for lines and switchgear and transformers and how we're so far behind, and copper comes to mind. Kind of just from your perspective as a global manufacturer, will we work all that out? Is it working itself out now, the global supply chain?
So I think you can look at the global supply chain much like the energy transition. It is a transition, and we are working it out. It is not worked out. But, you know, we've had ABB, as well as other large manufacturers, have had to rethink the way we view a supply chain. And it's not just the manufacturing element, it's the raw material element. It is the forecasting element, and for getting that all orchestrated together has been evolving. So maybe we'll do evolution versus transition. But yes, it's going to find a way to work itself out with the transition of skill sets that I mentioned earlier.
Oh, good. Love to close by asking, what did I not ask you that you want to say, or what would you like to tell our listeners about maybe what you're doing, what ABB's doing, or even what you've heard and seen here in New York?
So I would just add that there's a need to pull everything together. We've talked about technology, we've talked about skill sets, and those are great things that happen in a vacuum, but we have to come back to the customer. And sometimes it's easy to get hung up on what a technology can do. And one thing that ABB is doing, and this is how I'll close, is we are listening to the customer, because sometimes what they say they want is not what they need. And we need to help them on this journey to supply what they need in order to decarbonize and supply energy to all of people all over the world.
Well said. Love that you took the time to come by and be with us early this morning. Love that you're here in New York for the first time at the conference. And I look forward to seeing you over the next couple of days. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome to Path to Zero.
Thank you for listening to a special edition of Path to Zero with Tucker Perkins. If you like what you've heard, subscribe and rate us on your favorite podcast app. You can email us with questions or comments to pathtozero@propane.com.